Hello, we're back. This is Left Out on WRCT 88.3. The music we just heard was a small part of an opera called Dead Man Walking by Jake Heggie, with a brief interruption from the promotional department. So we have a couple more topics. We've got about 10 more minutes. Please give us a call at 412-621-9728. So the next topic we wanted to talk about is the news that was announced yesterday in the Post-Gazette that CMU is announcing a new branch campus in Qatar. So Qatar is a Middle Eastern country. It's a small country, population about 700,000. It's kind of a peninsula that sticks off of Saudi Arabia. They've got a tremendous amount of oil reserves and a lot of oil money there. And in fact, the actual most of the population is workers from other countries. So I think only between 1 and 200,000 are Qatari citizens, and the rest of the people there are workers who come from other countries. So Qatar has the Emir, I guess, or I forgot the name of the king,
Sheikh, I think.
The Sheikh. So it's a monarchy, and the king has decided, I'll use the word king, he's decided that, he and his wife have decided they want to start a great university there. They want to introduce Western values and the university education to the people of Qatar. So they built a huge complex called Education City outside of Doha, which is the capital city. And they've found several major American universities to help out to build programs for them. So, for example, they're setting up a medical school. Cornell University is setting up a medical school for them. I guess it's a B.S., in pre-med and followed by an actual medical degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, underway or shortly to be underway. And Virginia, what was the other university, Bob? Do you remember?
Virginia Commonwealth University.
Yeah, Virginia Commonwealth University has set up a program in interior design and decorating for them. And they've been looking for other universities to do other things for them. And they've been talking to CMU about CMU building a program, an undergraduate program in computer science, and also business. So it was announced in today's Post-Gazette that this deal has been consummated, that there's apparently all the details of a contract have been worked out, and the newspaper announced the university has announced that the program will start in the fall. There'll be, I think, 20 students entering in the fall in the computer science degree program. And the plan is that CMU will be involved in setting up the program and teaching the courses and designing the curriculum and doing all the things that we do to set up an undergraduate program. So, Bob, do you have any
more? So it looks like the whole thing is intended to be a fairly long-term effort. It's apparently the agreement, according to the Post-Gazette, is there's a 10-year-long agreement for this, and they're apparently Carnegie Mellon is planning to ramp up to an enrollment of about 400 students, which when you consider that's for two degree programs, as far as I'm aware, one in computer science and one in business, that's actually, as far as the size of the degree program, is
probably
pretty
larger than the
it's,
CMU,
it's pretty
the
close
Pittsburgh
to what we
campus.
Have here.
Yeah.
So that's really a pretty full-scale operation. So it's an interesting and an interesting development. I think the main thing that we wanted to raise here was there just seems to be a lot of question marks from the point of view of people on campus about exactly what all of this means. Like, what are the implications for Carnegie Mellon? What are the implications for the students? What are the implications for the faculty? What are the benefits? What are the drawbacks? There has been some discussion. I mean, it was presented to the Faculty Senate. Of course, the Board of Trustees approved it. The process, I mean, it's really been very carefully studied and carefully considered. But there still, I think, is a bit of some question marks about this, and we were wondering them ourselves. For example, it's not very obvious to us, at least as part of the public announcement. That's really what is key here. That, like, for example, how much you know, money this will bring into Carnegie Mellon, because it seems that's one of the primary benefits of doing this is to help out with money on campus. And the other is the cost, because if we're going to be running 2 degree programs of, let's say, once we get spun up of 400 students, that's going to require quite a few Carnegie Mellon faculty. And as far as I understand, those are supposed to be drawn from the faculty who are here on campus. At least that's been my understanding. So that means that, of course, that those people won't be here for the time that they're teaching in Qatar. I think the idea is you're supposed to go for like 1 or 2 years or something like that to teach there. And so, you know, that seems like a big burden on at least on in the business school and on the School of Computer Science, which seemed to be the main thrust of the activity. And I haven't gotten what I would, being a faculty member in computer science, I can say that I don't think I have a clear idea of how much this is going to cost in real terms, and to the students and to the faculty there, and versus what benefit. The benefit seems especially unclear.
Right. So we're still waiting for some really solid information about these things, and we're hoping to all agree that this is going to be a tremendously positive breakthrough for CMU and a benefit to our campus in Pittsburgh and to our students and to our faculty members. But those questions still really haven't been answered yet to my satisfaction.
Yeah, one thing I wonder is whether the degree that's issued will be indistinguishable from a degree that would be earned here in Pittsburgh. I don't know the answer to that. Do you, Danny?
I don't know the answer to that either.
So it's unclear. So anyway, the students on campus might look into this. I mean, I think it has some interest and for them, and also for for their futures at Carnegie Mellon. So it might be something to look into.
So we just have a couple of minutes left. I guess we've got to. We want to pick up another topic or two, just really quickly.
Sure. If you'd like to call, it's 621-412-621-WRCT 9728. We have a few other topics that we might like to discuss. One that's was caught my eye the other day was an article in the New York Times, in which Paul Bremer, who is the American administrator in Iraq, who's running the so-called Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. Our occupation government has decreed that in the formation of the new Iraqi government, whenever and however that comes about, that the intention to have the Iraqi constitution informed by and guided by Islamic law, which is being pushed by a number of people in Iraq, including the Ayatollah Sistani, he had decreed that this would be prohibited. He would quotes veto any attempt to give Islam such a primary role.
Sistani is the biggest Shiite cleric.
He's certainly in Iraq, probably. Yes, he's probably comparable in terms of the number of followers as to similar people in Iran as well. Because as far as I understand, it's a similar, the same sect of Muslim of Islam. So the thing that I find the reason I want to point this out, there are several, but the primary thing is it was evident a priori in the run up to the war that we had absolutely no intention of permitting there to be democracy in Iraq. And this was one of the most obvious reasons, is that if we were to permit there to be democracy in Iraq, that is, if the people of Iraq were to choose their political structure, it seems to me that the vast majority of people in Iraq would actually have a theocracy. So what we see here is that the U.S. government has no intention of introducing a democracy in Iraq. So don't believe it when they give you this propaganda. All righty. Well, I think that's pretty much finishes our show for the week. Thank you for listening.